All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance along with Dell bringing in Jane Slater, NFL Network, talking some Dak Prescott, $160 million over 4 years. Jane, welcome to the show. How are you?
What's up? Hello, Colleen. You're always one of my favorites this time of year with all your draft stuff.
It's good. My draft stuff is it's going. The reason we have you on is you are the reporter of note for NFL Network in Dallas, and you and I did Total Access last week, and the topic of Dak Prescott came up before he signed. Now, we know he signed a four-year, $160 million deal. It was $126 million guaranteed. But this entire time, I think this has been a great litmus test. Here you have a guy that I consider to be a good quarterback. I don't consider him – he's definitely not elite to me. Some might call him a great quarterback. You know, you can have your own opinion on that. It felt like Dallas was trying to hold out for a contract that they felt like was more accurate to where Dak actually was, but it also felt like they gave in on this when they finally blinked. I thought what was interesting was conversations that you had with some NFL executives where they looked at Dak kind of like I did, and I wonder if this is – why don't you tell people what the thought was around the league with some executives about Dak Prescott, and then I want to get to into the question about whether or not this is just going to continue the run of next up is going to get the big bucks, no matter who you are, as long as you are next up and you're a good quarterback.
Well, and to be very clear, I know there are some people who've alleged that I'm like a Cowboys like PR person that's helped them negotiate contracts in the press. Like, if anything, I've helped players over the years with some of the stuff that I've reported. I mean, DeMarcus Lawrence got overpaid, Zeke got overpaid, so I'm not quite sure how I've been so good at that. But on this particular issue, I was genuinely curious, and this didn't come from my Cowboy sources, go check other GMs on the market. I was just curious because I cover this team and I'm so myopic about it. What is the market value? And I honestly was prepared to hear GMs and execs tell me, oh, I'd absolutely pay him. Like, the cap's going to go up. You know, it's hard to find a franchise guy. But that wasn't the feedback that I was getting. I mean, I can't pull all 32, but I went to different divisions, teams that had their quarterbacks, so it wasn't like manipulation. Oh, yeah, the Cowboys should get rid of this so we can pick him up next season. It was, I just wanted to have capologists, people that assess the quarterback position, what do you think? And I was told, go down the list of the 1 through 5. He was not considered in the 1 through 5. I was told he was more 6 through 10 was the general feeling. And the general feeling was, even the guys that have gotten paid, they've been to the Super Bowl or they've won one. And so as one exec said to me, they said, look, the Cowboys and Zeke have a gamble here. He can hit the open market next year. The tag is ridiculous. It was like 54.3 for next year. Some team will convince themselves and obtain the number that he's looking for. We saw that with the Vikings and Kirk Cousins. We saw it with the Texans and Brock Osweiler. But is that the best fit for Dak? In other words, yeah, he'll get paid. But what did the Vikings and Kirk Cousins accomplish? What did Brock and the Texans? And I was told a lot of teams are getting smarter about that. Now, another agent said he's definitely going to be more important to the Cowboys. In other words, the Cowboys players, when they hit the open market, a lot of them don't make the money that Jerry's prepared to pay them. And I just felt, given my conversations last week, that they were talking, that Dak was working out at the facility. They were playing their cards very close to their vest. We didn't know the numbers. All I could say was, last year, it was my understanding, they left a 35 annual per year, the APY, on the table, 110 in guarantees, and a $50 million signing bonus. So they were going to start there. And the sticking point was still this notion of, we need flexibility, particularly this year, to get under the cap. And so I was told that, you know, when I even reached out to other players and their agents, have you been restructured yet? Have they flipped the switch on the contract yet? None of that has happened. Have you had free agency discussions about players? None of that had happened. I was basically told the singular focus was on getting a deal done with Dak. They were prepared to tag him, but it's better to get him done so that they know what they're working with, so that they can go be shoppers. Now, they won't be meaningful shoppers. There'll be a lot of veterans on the one-year minimum when they actually do go shopping, but they do have areas that they need to address. And so they'll still have to get a little bit under the cap, but as Adam Schefter reported, you know, he's going to count $22 million against the cap as opposed to the $37.5 million. And what's interesting is this is going in the books as a 6-year deal with the last 2 years voided so they can spread out the bonus money. And so Todd France, the agent, you know, he stared the Cowboys down. Dak Prescott stared them down. The Cowboys cost themselves money by not getting this thing done before Jared Goff and Carson Wentz 2 years ago. But what's pretty remarkable about this is Dak got everything. They're going to tag him today as a procedural thing, so you know they can't use the tag on him again. He has a no-trade clause. He can come back to the bargaining table in 3 years and do what he wanted to do in the first place. And Todd France can go and say, look, I got you the most guaranteed money. I got you the biggest signing bonus. Everybody wins here. But my feeling was the Cowboys knew they had to do something because they had not been able to address that quarterback position. And as much as they wanted to sell us on, well, maybe we'll get by with Andy Dalton. Not only did they not get by with Andy Dalton, they didn't get by with Ben DiNucci. They didn't get by with Gary Gilbert last year. So, you know, as Mike Robb said, you know, in our segment, Lance, franchise quarterbacks don't grow on trees. And the one thing that has stood out to me, not only his win-loss record, but his development, his footwork, he became a passing quarterback, you know, seventh highest passer rating in league history, tied with Tom Brady in his short time. This was a compensatory pick who you could argue saved you all sorts of money in his first couple of years. He finally recouped some of that. And maybe the Cowboys viewed that. And I think on some levels, I got to think Jerry Jones has been a man who's always gambled on himself. I got to think maybe there was a part of him that loved that Dak did that too. So I'm just glad the storyline's over.
Well, you said they should have done it before. Do you think France, Todd France and Dak would have, could they have avoided this big deal, Jane? Would Dak have been amenable before Goff's deal?
Well, I mean, the fact that the Cowboys were kind of laughing at $30 million and the notion of that a couple of years ago, you know, they knew where this thing was going to. I don't think, you know, I had one agent say to me, because I sort of reached out to other agents, like, what did you think of it? And one agent told me, he goes, if there's going to be a lot of players this year that are going to suffer because of the lower cap, Dak actually is thriving because of it, which I thought was fascinating. Because I think Jerry has an idea of where these TV contracts are going, and you know what the market could be next year. This was their way of saving themselves from having to get into what could have really cost them more money down the line. And as more agents have told me, they said, the way this league is going with TV money, streaming rights, gambling money, et cetera, no player should be doing anything more than a 3- and 4-year deal. Because if you look at a lot of these contracts, and Lance, you know this, we don't typically see a player on a contract longer than 3 years. You know, they find a way to avoid it. They find a way to restructure. So they need to be doing more of these 3-4-year deals anyways. And so maybe this and what Todd and Dak did sets a precedent moving forward.
Yeah. Very quickly, so now tell me where the Cowboys stand from a cap standpoint, because Ezekiel Elliott's got his contract. Amari Cooper has his rookie contract for CeeDee Lamb. What's going on with Tyron Smith? Like, it feels like they're pretty capped out on the offensive side.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Again, like, I think now that they've got this done, and we've got to look at the way that it's structured because that hasn't been filed yet, and we don't have the official cap number yet. So it's hard to get a sense of that. I saw one reporter had said that they still need to find $4 or $5 million. You know, as it was described to me, they started moving on some of these restructuring deals last year. So they had cleared up some money. They had started working on this last year. But it's in terms, I'm not a capologist and the numbers get real funny on me, so I'd hate to give you a bad number here. I think no one really has an idea just yet of what those numbers look like until we get that official cap, which hopefully will be out today. And until they start evaluating some of the guys in the roster that they might reset. But keep in mind, the more they reset these guys, the more we find them in cap hell, which is what they've been trying to avoid for years, and you're just kicking the can down the road. And sometimes that's not the best decision either.
Jane Slater, NFL Network, with us here on ESPN 97.5. Jane, we appreciate it. Great, great work, and we'll be looking forward to hopefully having you on again. Without all this unpaid internship talk. That'd be great.
Thank you. And anything for you, Lance. I appreciate you fighting the war when I couldn't the other day.
Oh, he just dabbed.
I just dabbed.
He just dabbed.
That's one of the things I do to
Jane,
show my,
can you stop
show
him
my
doing
power
that?
Over the guys here on the show.
Anytime you can stop him doing that.
It did spin out into me having to have my own fights with people, but that was fine. I'm used to that. See, what you got is a little taste of what mock draft season's like.
Mm-hmm.
Put out a mock draft and I'm like, you've lost all your credibility. Like, I just put a prediction of a player going to your team. I'm sorry.
It is exhausting. It is the most exhausting space. It requires too much brain food sometimes. Well,
Jane, next time, just hit mute. Just hit mute on all these haters. Just hit the mute button. That's the easy way to do it. Jane, we appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys. Bye.